Can you hear me?
Yes.
Remember, you are in the material world. So things will go wrong. It must go wrong. Yeah, like I was saying, Maharaj wanted us to participate, and then so this was a topic that was picked for both of us. So my journey in relationship with the Holy Name. Oh, let's see. Okay. Or confessions of a bad chanter in this case. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sanatana Goswami approaches Mahaprabhu, he inquires about the position of the jiva, suffering and so on. And Mahaprabhu then indicates the good fortune for a jivatma. Brahmande brahmate kona bhagyavan jiva guru krishna prasadi bhakti paya lata beach. That if he is fortunate, he gets the blessings of both the spiritual master and Krishna himself. So in one sense, I can say, at least for myself, I was very fortunate. How did it all start? The journey. By the way, the journey is still going on. So, let's see. So when I was young, in the 70s, my cousins used to come over, and they liked to play all kinds of records, so Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, all kinds of things. So I believe I have heard My Sweet Lord during those time. And the other one was this famous Indian movie, Bollywood movie, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, I believe. So I wasn't into all those things, but I hear, you know, my uncles and aunties talking about those movies. And in college, yes, in parties and so on, they play George Harrison's My Sweet Lord. So I've heard of that. And in my college, the Hare Krishnas used to come there. They'll have a big, in the pavilion, they'll sit down and they'll play some music, they sing, and they'll just go away after that, you know. So that's how I got introduced with the Holy Name. At least I remembered the singing and so on. But chanting, particularly on japa, was much later. Actually, it was after college. And I was in 1984. So I was given a beat back, and I said, "You can chant." I said, "I can try." And so they said, "Chant four rounds." And I said, "All right, I'll chant four rounds." So I chanted. After one day, I think, or maybe it was 2 days. So the same devotee came and said, "Did you chant four rounds?" I said, "Yes, I did." So he said, "If you can chant four rounds, you can chant 16 rounds." And I was thinking about it, and I said, "I can't defeat that logic, you know." So I said, "All right, I'll do it." And since then, I've been chanting 16 rounds, minimum at least, yeah. Yeah, so that's it. No, we will continue. During those days when you chant 16 rounds, unlike nowadays, right, you come for a japa retreat and so on, you know, we didn't even have any kind of retreat, you know. Only retreat we had was home, you know. So, when I was told to chant 16 rounds, I wasn't thinking of, right, I have to chant properly or anything like that. I just want to get the damn thing done at that time. Honestly, that's how I felt. I said, I had to just finish it, you know. So, and I would chant. And I would chant so fast, you know. One round I would do it around between 4.5 to 5 minutes. Because the aim was to finish. And then I could do anything else, you know. So when I was approached, have you finished your rounds? Yeah, I've done it. Yeah, so I can do anything. So that was the attitude at that time. Not really understanding the significance behind the holy name and so on. Then later on, a few years after working, I was at the request of my spiritual master. I gave up my work and I... Not really, actually. I was still working when I went into the ashram life. In ashram life, it's totally different. No? I don't know if how many of you have been through ashram life. Can't see many people, actually. So, oh yeah, at least Prabhu's there. Yeah, so in ashram life, you just follow with the crowd. All the brahmacharis, you know, whatever time they get up, you get up also. Because you're all in the same room, you know. So there are 10 men there. The first guy who gets up at 2 o'clock, that's it. You know, your sleep is gone. So that's how ashram life was, my introduction to ashram life was. And it was fascinating and interesting. First time I learned what ISKCON Brahmacharya ashram life was. And I was thinking, this is interesting because, you know, particularly for me, I was working still, so I had to go to work after, generally usually after the daily darshan, I have to drive back to work. And then after work, I have to come back in the evening. So you can see I was leading two lives, you know, an ashram life and then I was also working. And I understand why my spiritual master wanted me to stay in the ashram so that I would have the tenacity to give up the material life. Because, you know, you can't live two lives like that. Still, to finish 16 rounds between working and ashram life and sleep deprivation was a challenge, you know. Yeah. Usually you come back in the evening, then the kirtans would go. I mean, I really enjoyed that. We had good kirtans, and then sometimes the kirtans would go up to 9 or 10 in the night. And then we'll just go take milk and drink, you know, and then back to bed. But then again the cycle starts. Next morning, whoever gets up first, everybody has to get up like that. So that was ashram life. One other thing is background music. Do you know what background music is? What is background music? There's a music going on while you are doing something, right? Or engaged. So that's how my chanting was. My chanting became the background music to my mind's chatter. So the mind was telling me everything and I was just, you know, chanting, but I wasn't focused enough. But this took on maybe a couple of years. Then after that, with the encouragement of my spiritual master, I gave up my work life and I went traveling with my spiritual master. So during my stay with him, he introduced me to different ways of chanting. As I pointed out, some pictures of deities, of acharyas. He said you could chant, you could look at them, that way your mind doesn't wander. That was one of the things he said. And he said you could also read a Krishna book and then every time your mind wants to run, you stop, you read. So you can at least at all times focus on Krishna. That was his intention. And he also encouraged me to chant in front of Tulsi Maharani. He would do all of this thing actually in his own room. And this helped. And I think he also told my other god siblings as well how to chant as well. Not only this, one of the nicest things that he would do was he would also ask me to sit with him whilst he was chanting. It was intense, but it was good. Because there was a lot of purification. Yeah. You know, you don't feel it sometimes, but it's happening. Yeah? After a while, you tend to see things differently, or at least I felt that my taste for chanting increased albeit by a little bit, you know. And with traveling with him also gave me the opportunity to be with senior association, personalities that you could never get close to. But with him, they were there, so you could be with them, you could hear them, you could hear their chanting as well, and there was a lot of purification like that. And I would encourage all of you here for this retreat to also, you know, use these opportunities. Like in Mangala Arati, you can sit with Badahari Prabhu, you know, try to inch closer to him, or to Mother Kausha Rupa for the ladies. And our very own Vatsal Prabhu is always here. And if Ritava Swami is around when he gives us his association, stick around them, you know, and when you hear them chant, it really helps. It purifies us. And the appreciation for the holy name again increases a little bit more like that. So I was very fortunate in that sense. And as I say here, deliberate desire to chant properly. That impetus to want to chant, that impetus to want to chant purely took place in this kind of association. I do not think it would have happened otherwise, or it may have taken a much longer time. Because the chanting works, but it depends on how we use it. It's like in the sixth canto where Parikshit Maharaj says how when you take bath, when an elephant takes bath, and then when it comes out, it puts a lot of mud over itself. So in the same way, when we are chanting on our own without proper association, we may be contaminating ourselves off and on. So in wanting to chant deliberately, I wanted to make sure that I could still finish my rounds. So then the quick and slow chanting came into place. So I would want to chant quickly so that I can get things done. But in chanting quickly, I found that sometimes I'll be twirling and squeezing the beads too much. I don't know how you guys are doing it, but these are reflections. So I don't do this anymore because I made sure that when I chant, I hold my beads, and when I finish one complete round, then I move on to the next bead. Over the years, you know, once you practice it nicely, it won't you won't go backwards. You will make the advancement in that. Say, so I found twirling. You know, I see a lot of times. You know, you twirl, and then after a while, the beads fly off your hand. You know, it's so surcharged with energy, the beads wants to go somewhere else. So, no. Okay, so that was one of the problems figured out. And then, like I said, you lose grip of the beads. Or when you chant too slowly, what happens is you become lazy. And then there's no real deliberation to want to chant, you know. So oftentimes, sometimes I notice nowadays with younger devotees, when they chant slowly, you can see they zone off into a different transcendental arena, you know. And we try to help them come back to the reality, you know. It's a different kind of reality sometimes we go into. Then moving on, in the early days, one of the good things was we were told you have to sit properly, lotus position. So, yes, I used to do that, sit for 2 hours, breeze through my chanting, and that was good. But as I grew older, as you can see, we are sitting on chairs. My knees gave way. My nephews still work, but the knees gave way. Anyway. Now there are difficulties in chanting also. We only see one aspect of it, but at the same time, there are difficulties, and some of the difficulties are things like disturbs our mind. Just like when I was asked to present this, so generally in the morning you want to focus on your chanting. So Because I have to present, it keeps pushing my chanting, my mind keeps pushing, saying, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that, you know. So it keeps disturbing the mind. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, but it still disturbs the mind from focusing on chanting. So one of the key things is to chant nicely, you got to make sure you are at peace. Now if there's something that is disturbing you, whether it's good or bad, take time off and get it done. If you feel sleepy, then you go and sleep. Sleep it off. Alright? Don't force yourself, try to chant. But if you feel sleepy sitting down, then you walk and chant. So that's what I do. Generally. But of course, I can chant sitting on a chair. Difficulties in chanting after a fight. So sometimes the cook will fight with the manager for not buying enough boga, and so they will be not able to chant. Either the cook or the manager won't be able to concentrate. But if your spiritual master chastises you and you get humble, you find that you can focus very nicely. You really can focus. Because the spiritual master, they don't just chastise you for the sake of, you know, it feels good, you know. It's not like that. They're trying to help you. So when they chastise you, it's actually a form of mercy. Okay? So then you find that in your heart that you'll think, my spiritual master is not happy with me. You know, I haven't done this very well. So you want to chant better, you want to be a better devotee like that. You find that you can focus better. So one of the key things that I've noticed is when you're humble, you will chant better. It's interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vaitrinara pisuni chana tarora pisaismina mani namanadina kirtaniya sadahari. But you have to be humble in a proper way. You don't want to be chastised all your life, you know. And then you can chant like that. But it's still a good thing. So later on sometime in, all throughout this time, all through 1984 till I would say 2007, I never had an opportunity to go to a retreat, but I think it's 2007, I'm not sure. Maybe Guru Bhakti knows. Before that, okay, it's before that, yeah. Getting old. No? So we went to the Japa retreat. It was an eye opener because there was a lot of things that I learned from this Japa retreat. Some of which were things like. Why we need to focus. Sometimes devotees will say, well, everything is there. It may be there for us, but someone else can make it available for us in an easier way. The access becomes easier. So Maharaj was very good in that. He brought into focus why we are chanting. And not only that, I also found that it also gave me how I can aspire for my own spiritual desires, how I can work and cooperate with these desires, and not to just fight it, and not to pursue things that is not helping me with my spiritual desires. And within the retreat, I also learned how to be grateful, not only to my spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada, to the holy name, to Mahaprabhu for bringing this from Goloka Vrindavan, and how I can relate to the holy name, why that was necessary, what I can expect out of this relationship. And so that gave me some clarity, and at the same time discovery that I can have a personal relationship with the holy name. So this led to chanting with attention. Again, you hear this operative word, attention. It's very important. And therefore, after this japa retreat, I really became very serious about chanting. More so because I found out that imperfect chanting cannot change the heart. And not only that, it actually gives rise to doubts. Because after a while, even though you may be coming to temple and so on, you will think, I'm chanting for so long, it's not giving me any results. So maybe it's not working. Maybe I should try something else. Maybe I should do some transcendental meditation, you know, something like that. So therefore, it was very important for me. I didn't want to have any more doubts. I was convinced this is the methodology, but at the same time, I didn't want anything else to come in my heart. So therefore, chanting with attention was very important for me. It's like cooking with smoke. I mean, most of you, those who know how to cook, you will know, right? When the fire is clean, you can cook very nicely, very quickly. But when the fire is smoky, right, you can't really cook. It'll take a long time or it'll be undercooked. So chanting is like that. If you're having imperfect chanting, you really can't reap the benefits properly. So when you chant with conscious effort and trying to relate with the Holy Name as a person, it becomes a perfection. It'll reveal to us who this person is. Of course, you have to be enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic to chant, you need to be around enthusiastic people. Yeah. By the way, I see some of you are chanting and listening at the same time. This is called inattentive chanting. And if you're doing inattentive chanting, you're going to doubt it after a few years. So stop doing that. This is called the japa retreat, to stop this nonsense. So, you know, stop that. Okay? Otherwise, it doesn't make sense being here. All of you took time, you paid some little donation to come here, and if you're going to chant and listen, might as well get out and chant. Because it'll be better for you. If you're going to sit here and chant and listen, you are being offensive to the Holy Name. It's a fact. You are offensive to the Holy Name, and you'll understand why. Because you're not trying to keep the name present in your heart. You are thinking of something else. And who's this Holy Name? In the Brihad Naradiya Purana, it is said, you all know this, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Vai Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Nasti, Eva Gatiranyata. I really like this verse because it says, in this age of Kali, there's no other means, no other means, no other means. Three times it says, no other means for self-realization than chanting the Holy Name, chanting the Holy Name, chanting the Holy Name of Lord Hari. Because of our Kali Yuga intelligence and mentality, it has to say three times. Even after saying three times, we still do the same mistakes. What I like about this mantra verse, it says, no other means. There's no other means to get perfection. Do you understand what it means? It means there's no other way except chanting the Holy Name. You have to chant the Holy Name and you have to do it properly. And that's why I like it so much. So, in my own life, because of verses like that, the attentiveness took on a new meaning for me. It revealed to me there is a measure of completeness. Now, we hear the word Sankirtan. Sankirtan means complete. If you want to be complete in chanting, the relationship with Krishna must be there. Otherwise, your chanting is not complete. It is incomplete chanting. So then, this realization also took place. Holy name wasn't a technique. So you're not coming here to learn some techniques. Maybe there is. To build that efficiency in chanting, you may need some techniques. But the holy name isn't a technique. Okay? It's not a tool. It's not even a powerful sound. The holy name is? Yeah, it was Krishna himself. Now in the beginning when we join, we take this as a fact, and then we say, Krishna is a person, that's it. Zoom, you know. We don't really relate to that so much. But over the years, Krishna is becoming real. At least to me. And so there's a change of heart. There's a change of heart. The way now you see the holy name, the way you approach the holy name is also different. Because, again, let me tell you why. Because the revelation that this is a person and there must be a personal interaction made more sense to me. This is a person, right? For example, if you chant, like Madhava Charan is there, and I say, Madhava Charan, come here, come here, and then Madhava Charan comes close to me, then when he comes close to me, if I do something else, how does he feel? He'll feel, this guy, what's wrong with him, you know? So in the same way, when we are chanting the holy name, what are we saying? Oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, I want to do eternal service to you. You know, we are like, you know, so really into it, we chant like that. That's the intention behind it, to chant, right? But then when we don't do that properly, then we are saying, I'm not interested in you. So that's how the change of heart took place for me. It has to be a calling out. And Prabhupada says it should be like a child crying out for its mother. A genuine feeling in the heart. That change in heart must take place for all of us. Otherwise, so I want to do that. So this is part of my journey here. I also realize this is directly speaking to Krishna when we chant. We are telling Krishna, I want to have a relationship with you. And Krishna is a sound incarnate, meaning he comes as soon as you chant, he is next to your ears. He's not going to take a special avatar to stand in front of you, or all of us. He's there already as soon as you chant. And therefore, the relationship has to be very absorbing with Krishna. If we don't do this, we are actually hurting Krishna. Because we have a unique relationship with Krishna. Each and every one of us have a very unique relationship with Krishna. And you cannot, by not going to him and not having that relationship, you are hurting Krishna. And Krishna wants us to be with him. In the Padma Purana, this is a famous verse, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Binnatva Nama Namina. This particular verse tells us that the holy name is as good as Krishna. It says the holy name is Krishna himself. You can look it up. I'm going to go quickly now. Part of the problems in our chanting, the inattentiveness, there's three types. Let me go quickly. One of them is indifference, lack of attraction, or there's no fixed resolve in sadhana. That I want to do this properly, I want to chant nicely. We don't have that, and therefore we get into this indifference. Okay, 16 rounds, I'll die, I'll chant, I'll do it. The remedy for that is you chant in the association of devotees, or near Tulsi Maharani, or in a holy day, dham like the temple. Or any place that is disturbance free. Another way you can chant is, anyway, we'll go later on. The other inattentiveness is laziness or drowsiness. So you see sometimes devotees chant and they fall asleep. Okay? Or they want to take frequent rest. Okay, how to get rid of that? Becoming enthusiastic in the association of Vaishnavas and observing them, not wasting their time. So when you're on, next time you see a very advanced devotee, you see how much they don't waste their time. Then keep that in your mind and see how they're absorbed in their own chanting as well. And then the last one is distraction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a few things. Tendency to think about the opposite sex, wealth, how to make money, material success, my position, cheating for all personal gain. All these will be obstacles in your chanting. How to overcome that? Follow proper Vaishnava behavior, observing Ekadasi enthusiastically, right? For us, Ekadasi means feasting. Yeah. But actually, you should observe Ekadasi. Give up something. You have to give up something during Ekadasi. Eat less, chant more, read more. Again, make sure your sadhana is very good in the association of devotees. Otherwise, if you don't do that and you pretend to chant or you're not interested in chanting, Krishna can feel all of these things. He'll feel you're indifferent towards him. He'll think you're not interested in him. And then when you call out to him, you really don't want him. You want something else, some material things and so on. So inattention is a lack of interest or negligence on our part. That means the sadhana is not really there. You don't understand what sadhana means. You don't want to actually build that bridge to Krishna. Rather you think you deserve Krishna. Right? Oh, I'm in Hare Krishna movement. I've been initiated. Now, I'm sure to go back to Godhead, man. Why? Because I got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, maybe in a few million lifetimes like that. Yeah. Action is needed. Chant more. Yeah. So if you don't do, if you don't want to reciprocate with Krishna, then you will reciprocate with who? Material energy, maya, and that will give rise to further anarthas. Mahaprabhu has already made the first move 500 years ago and all the way now through Srila Prabhupada and his devotees and disciples. Now it's our turn. We have to reciprocate with Krishna. Okay, we can't just keep putting the blame on others. One of the things that I came across and is very, very nice is that it is difficult to avoid the 10 offenses, but easier to focus on the root of the other offenses, right? That is inattention. So if you can cure inattention, you will not make any offenses. Things that has helped with chanting and relating to Krishna, avoid Vaishnava aparad. Okay, if you make mistake, whether you know it or not, you ask for forgiveness. If you feel you have made mistake, you go and ask for forgiveness. If you think you may have made mistakes, you go and ask for forgiveness. If you are not sure you have made any offenses, you go and ask for forgiveness. I'll tell you, personally, I have. Even sometimes if someone tells me, you know, that Prabhu or that Mataji feels that, you know, that you said something that hurt them, just go and ask for forgiveness, you know. Even sometimes you feel you said something about someone to someone else and your heart is not satisfied and you feel it is not right, you go and tell them, you know, I said something foolishly, I want to ask for your forgiveness, yeah. And I can tell you, you'll feel that a weight off your shoulder. And then your chanting is so much nicer. So please, don't make offenses. Pray for protection, and not to be distracted. When you come to take darshan to Krishna, to the deities, don't just come to, oh Krishna, look at me, I'm so good. I came to see you. Take my darshan, Krishna. Or you look at Krishna, he's so beautiful, Radharani is so beautiful, Gaunita, they're so beautiful, it's good. But you still have to pray. You pray for yourself, you pray for others. I always say that, pray for others. You won't grow shorter, you won't disappear praying for others. You'll become a better devotee. So pray for protection from making mistakes, committing aparads, and pray not to be distracted when you're chanting. So before you chant, during Mangalarti, the first day, first time you chant, say, Krishna, please chant. And then once you finish the first round, then you know you have been distracted many times. So you say, Krishna, please, please, let me be focused like that. And then complete the quota, your 16 rounds. Don't put it off. I knew a devotee who told me he calculated 20,000 rounds he owed to his spiritual master. So he said he's catching up. Now, if you don't finish your quota and you've been doing it for a few years, don't do catch up. Just start from that day properly, okay? Krishna is kind, your spiritual master is kind, they will forgive you, but don't keep doing it. Participate in festivals and read scriptures daily. Okay? Like this, come for retreats, sadhu sangha, all this kind of things. Have good company of devotees to associate. Have a group of devotees who are good in their sadhana. Not people who are not doing well, but because you like the association, you stick with them. No. Look for devotees who are always wanting to improve themselves. Have those kind of associates so you can reveal your heart to them. And finally, there were some books that helped me over the years. Japa Reform by His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj. Japa by His Grace Burijan Das. Now, if there's one book that I would recommend, I would say this book, Japa by Burijan Prabhu. If you are a new person, you should read this. This is so good. But the Guru Bhakti will show you some Japa group sessions. Burijan Prabhu talks a lot about how to chant properly, mantra by mantra, etc. And the other book that gives you a lot of information on the Holy Name is The Nectarian Ocean of Holy Name by His Holiness Sachinanda Swami. Now my journey still continues. So I will hand over to Shyamasundar. He has another 25-30 minutes. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Vancha kalpataru visya kripa sindhu bhayavacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaisnava bhyo namo namaha. So my journey began when we were at the Rosalie temple, but I was attending only Janmashtami time once in a while. And then during 1986, they used to hold the home programs. So they invited me to attend some home program. And I really liked the family attitude, the interactions between the devotees that really captured my heart, and I start to coming more often than I used to. One good thing about my life was that I have a good relations with my Guru Maharaj, and we have some open discussion many times. Once in a while when I come to the temple and when I hear the class of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, it's really attracting me that we took the birth in India, but here is the person who took birth in New York, and how dedicated they are. So I was feeling ashamed, but that impression was carrying in the back of my mind to follow them one day. I think it was 1988 when Tamal Krishna Maharaj Vyas Puja was observed in Houston, and then all the devotees went to Galveston to celebrate, to swim little, have little. And that day I make a vow that I will chant 16 rounds. So I have been chanting 16 rounds since 1988. But I didn't took the initiation because I also was smoking. And I have the discussion, I think in 1989 when Gopinath Prabhu, Visakha Mataji's and Chaitanya Prabhu, Draupadi Mataji's, so many devotees took initiation at that time. They called me in. And I told Gurudev that I need some more time. And it's very good. I would like to, I was dwelling some of the communication I have with Srila Gurudev. It's not for to get any kind of glorification, but I think as a principle, I'm going to read it. Gurudev has been kind to all his disciples. But some of the things was that we were discussing while we were meeting that I want to be serious. I don't want to take initiation just for taking initiation. So Gurudev later on really wrote me. One letter stating that he wrote me in 1994 that your letter was written with great devotion and feeling, also with good realizations of the philosophy. I'm very much just happy to see how you are advancing in Krishna consciousness. You are helping me so much to spread Krishna consciousness in Houston. I can simply pray to Sisi Radhanila Madhava, Sisi Gonita, Giriraj Govardhan, and they bless you with more and more transcendental life. Attachment to one spiritual master is the key to success to spiritual life. And you have understood this very nicely. And this is the cause of your rapid advancement. You did not want to take initiation quickly. You wanted to be a serious devotee. You waited until your mind was set. Now I see that the saying is true. One who comes slowly will also not leave quickly. You are staying close to your guru at every moment in your heart. And by the grace of Krishna, you are getting all guidance in Krishna consciousness. So it was my good fortune to get the association of Srila Gurudev, which really attract me. I waited, and one time because I was a very successful businessman, that they offered me so many lucrative deals to open more donut shops. So I approached Srila Gurudev that I'm making enough money and I will donate 100% to the temple. And can I open another donut shop? Then temple doesn't have to worry about the financial aspect. Maybe I can open 3, 4, 5 and at least we can make 60 to 100,000 per store profit. And that was my first personal interactions with Gurudev. We have some occasional on walking or something, but this was sitting in a room and look at me for long. And then he says, it is very good for the temple, but it is not good for you. So I was really amazed to hear that, and it's really touched my heart. I asked Gurudev that why is like that, and Gurudev gave me the reasons that 7% get the same 15% sins who slaughter, because we were selling the sandwiches at the Dunkin' Donut at that time. So when I went home, I told Shyamalavi that ideally who can find a person who can be so well-wisher of our life. Otherwise, I know that if you go to any other temple and if you tell them that you are going to do some business and you will give all the income to temple, they will say, you are not doing for yourself, you are doing for the temple. But no, he stopped me. So I really feel very indebted to him for that advice, and it has grown my life like that. I went to Vrindavan, Gurudev called, and it was very nice to practically see Gurudev waking up at 1:30 in the morning. And I saw that the main goal is, no matter Srila Gurudev was so much in a management, But he has the quality time for his chanting. So that was something I learned from him, that even despite so many things will happen during management of the temple, but you should never give up the chanting of the holy name very nicely. So it's always stick in my heart. Really, I was debating at the time that the reason I feel that we are not becoming serious, because we have very misdeed that we may have done in our previous life and this life. And also we perform so many activity which has no connection with Krishna. And it says in our scriptures that any activity that we perform has no real connection with Krishna, then we will be bound by the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhibhautik, and adhidevi. And when we are not connected with Krishna, then the life that we are living is described very nicely in Srimad Bhagavatam, Pa-pa-bha, Bhama, that we work really hard. Work hard that we get formed from our mouth. And ultimately we get dissatisfied. And also, we are not happy with our life. Always we remain fearful. And ultimately we have to leave this world. But if we do one thing very nicely, is attach ourselves with Krishna, all the problems get resolved very quickly. We don't have to tackle separately each and every item. Just do one thing right. And Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara is very merciful to us to show us the direct way. Rather than looking for so many things, in Agni Puran it says that no knowledge, no austerities, no any past activity, no meditations, no other anything can be beneficial than the holy name of the Lord. And we have been listening to the glorification of the holy name, that how he can help us to change. And Krishna has been so kind that he come as a street stripper. And when we chant the holy name, he cleans all these contaminations that we are holding in our heart. Also the misgivings, attachment with the material desires, and the reactions for our karmic work. So he cleans. He comes as a street sweeper and help us to clean our heart. So I was really, when I see Gurudev was giving a prominent time of his life, waking up at 1:30 in the morning, and at that time I know that Nithaichand Maharaj was residing in Vrindavan and everybody was chanting 64 rounds. It gives a good gift to me in the beginning. I was always trying to find out that how we can. One thing I realized, that unless and until we become peaceful, it's very difficult to concentrate the mind. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned the secret for success in chanting, that the physical well-being, social well-being, and emotional well-being must be there on the initial platform. Otherwise, the devotee will fall down. So we have to be very careful, sensitive enough that what we are trying to achieve, we have not succeeded for so many years, still we are struggling chanting the holy name. Why? I was just thinking, only one reason, that yet we have not put a number one priority for chanting the holy name of the Lord. We have so many other desires, we have so many other priorities in our life, that hardly we have little attentions to give toward the main object of our life. That is a very misfortune in reality. So as I was dwelling left, Radha Krishna Prabhu says, find the ways. So also on my journey to Japa, that I was trying to play some soothing musics when I used to chant the holy name. It helped me at some level. And then Srila Gurudev gave me, when we built the Gauranga Hall, he gave me the Krishna's and Radha pastimes picture, which he used to look at that picture and chant his round in the morning. So he gave me as a gift. So I used to also chant one round on 8 different pastimes, chant on the deities, looking at them. One Govardhan Hill picture was there, so I will chant one round. And there was one on the Mahamantra, just looking at the Mahamantra I used to chant. Then I think that the secluded place should be there in the house. So one of the room, after Tulsi Priya got married, I converted that room as a japa room. And I remember that I have that on the top ceiling border is very 8 inches wooden, very nice Hare Krishna Mahamantra all around the ceiling. And then just to show the gratitude to whoever, I have learned something from them. So if you come to my room, I'll show that I have at least 25 Maharaj picture, that who has given me the instructions and the inspirations in my life and guidance. Sisi Radha Nila Madhava Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. So slowly and slowly we become, try to become attentive, because as we learn every day that 10th offense is when I chant, I just always dwell that we have no serious commitment to chant the holy name of the Lord and maintaining material attachment, even after having so many instructions on this matter. And also it is an offense to be unattentive. So those things always like a grassroot, that we have to get rid of those things. So I highly recommend that on our, it's not that you will just concentrate, find a secluded place and you will be able to chant attentively Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It's not like that. You have to prepare night before your consciousness. You have to exhibit the life like that, that you render devotional service quite a bit. Most of your time use of your mind and your physical limbs should be absorbed serving the Lord Krishna. Then and then everything will become easy. Otherwise it will remain very, very difficult. I was listening to Srila Gurudev class that unless and until you surrender 100%, there is no hope to go back to Godhead. So I always felt that the one thing we all can do is we are getting so many reactions, and those reactions is bringing all the miseries in our life. And the simple solution is they contribute the result of a fruit of our work, at least for the good cause. If we cannot do that, the path is very, very difficult. Our mind always will be absorbed for our own sense gratifications, how I can enjoy more. So that has helped me. Then I created that secluded place. Even when I go in the room, I bow down and respect that room. And slowly lately I have been practicing that, just looking at the Mahamantra and not just close the eyes and meditate that mantra, that every how that each in Devanagari Mahamantra that I really attached to. So it has a 4 lines and you just remember each syllabus exactly how it has been written and just read those syllabus. When you close your eyes, I have that, like I was telling Radha Krishna Prabhu, that it mentioned that distractions come. So when you chant the holy name, you should keep your eyes closed that you can only see the tip of the nose. But when I practice, a lot of the time, we go to sleep. You know, you hear that you are not chanting and suddenly you will start, Hare Krishna, and you know that where we were. So it was really difficult, particularly if you have overworked the day before. So we should have a good rest. Then and then we can have a concentration. So then when I start looking at it, for many months I just concentrate on the holy name just to impregnate it in my heart and my vision, that Maha Mantra. And when I close my eyes, I just see nothing but the Maha Mantra. And then when you chant, now I close my eyes completely and I can sit and I can just, because we are chanting, our tongue is engaged, your hearing is engaged, you are hearing, you are chanting, your touching sense is engaged, and also you are attentive to those syllables very nicely. Just read. It has increased when I changed the process. I was chanting more round, it came down drastically because it was taking 11 minutes, 10 minutes. But with the practice, it has come to 9.5 minutes. But it has helped me quite a bit. So something that you should create a unique way. And it has helped me, like just before I go to sleep, I am a very lucky person. I can go to sleep at any time of the day. If you tell me to take a nap, I can take a nap in 2 minutes. So I'm very fortunate by that. So when I go to sleep, I just read the Maha Mantra. And I don't think that I have to read more than 7 or 8 times before that I'm asleep. And when I wake up in the morning, I just start with looking at that Maha Mantra and start repeating. And what I had helped me, that because before you go to the sleep, because you are concentrating on the holy name, our subtle mind also constantly thinking about the holy name. So when you wake up in the morning, it's easily available that you will see the Maha Mantra very easily. One thing that I must say that I'm very grateful, I'm very in debt to my Guru Maharaj to put me in the situation as an honor manager. Because one time I really wrote to Srila Gurudev about this, and his response was that, "I quite agree with you that accepting the position of temple president has been very beneficial for your spiritual advancement." Technology sometimes, we are in the material world. No, then I cannot read. It comes.
Say what it is.
Yeah. So I think that he mentioned, and I think that he prayed that remain dedicated up to the last breath to this temple to make it successful. And on this later, Srila Gurudev has made that, because you have so much sincere faith in me, I pray to Radha Nila Madhava that you manage successfully and make that Houston Yatra very successful. So I was just dreaming that how this thing is happening, because I don't have no qualification. I don't have any capacity that what we see that happened with all the devotees. But it just by the mercy of the spiritual master, everything can become very easy. That's my realizations. That if we sincerely follow the instruction of our spiritual master, we can achieve everything. And only the means is to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At the last, his desire was like this. So I would like to read. "It is such a pleasure to have you as my representative in Houston. These regular reports give me full appreciation for how things are going there. Because you have strong devotion for Guru, I'm sure that Krishna will bless you with all transcendental intelligence and determination to make our Houston project successful. Most important of all," this is very important, and I'll close this. This is his desire. "Most important of all is to give full encouragement to all of the devotees and congregations that they may also participate in the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness." Kamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna.